Hello again, friends. This is Brother Billy Parker coming back to you again. And you know, last broadcast we talked about the 17 works of the flesh and things that we shouldn't do. And I talk a lot of times about the fruit and about how you'll know them by the fruit. And I want to talk today a little bit from 2 Peter chapter 1. And I've heard the things that I'm going to talk about called the seven Christian graces. Well, Webster says grace is any excellence, characteristic, attraction, endowment, natural or acquired. Well, if these things are in our life, people will know that we're God's children. So now let's get into this chapter. Let's read the first four verses. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now these four verses teach us that if we're God's children, we've obtained the same faith as Peter and all the other apostles. We're all just children of God. They didn't have anything that we don't have, except that they saw the Lord in the flesh. The same Spirit of God works in us and through us as it did in them. In these first verses, we are also taught that God has given us, through His power, all things that pertain to life. That's natural things and godliness. That's spiritual things. All the promises of God belong to us. And Peter called them exceeding great and precious, and all they truly are, children of God. Also here we're told that we are to be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, we're to share in the nature of God. The definition of nature is the essential qualities of a thing. So if we're going to be partakers of this divine nature, we need to know what it is. And these next few verses give us those essential qualities. Let's get into them now and see what they are. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. Giving all diligence. This means to be earnest, to be sincere about this thing, to have zeal and give careful attention to it. Add to your faith. Now this is our trust and belief in Jesus Christ as our risen Savior. This is where we all start from, but we're supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and not stay babies. For this reason, we are to begin to put these other things in our life by adding them to our faith. Now, let's see what they are. Virtue, rightness or right living, goodness, doing in a way that you can have power with God. And do you know, children of God, we can live in a way that we've got power with God? I won't ever forget one time that a good brother, and I was at his house, and his little boy fell in his bathtub and busted his head open. It was just bleeding profusely. And he jumped up and ran in there and grabbed him, and I come around the corner, and as I come around the corner, he come out of the bathroom, and he laid him down the hallway. He said, "Pray, Bill, pray." And we fell down on our knees, and I looked at all that blood, and I couldn't hardly pray, but I still remember his prayer. He threw his hands up, and he said, "Oh, God," said, "you know how I've lived, and I need you now." That was virtue. That was virtue, children of God. He knew he lived in a way that he had that power with God. And you know, that blood stopped. And today, you can't even tell. I don't even know if there's a scar there where that boy fell and hurt himself. So we need to have that virtue with God. And the virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is a clear perception of a truth or a fact. We are to study God's ways, that we might have a clear perception of His laws and ways. Hebrews 5:11-14 tells us, talking of Christ, said, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As I heard one minister put it, we've got a lot of gray-haired babies. There's too much of letting the preachers do all the studying and depending on them for all the answers. When the Word of God teaches us to search the Scriptures, we need to know the Word of God and understand it for ourselves. The Word of God also teaches us to be ready to give every man an answer for the hope that's within us. And if we don't have any first-hand knowledge of God's ways and His Word, how can we give that answer? How can we tell that man what our hope is all about? We need that knowledge and that understanding that God's got for every one of us, children of God. Verse 6, let's go back. And the knowledge, temperance, and the temperance, patience, and the patience, godliness. Temperance. Temperance is moderation in all things. Self-control and self-restraint. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. We get overcharged or be excessive in anything we do. Fishing is not wrong if done in moderation. But when it becomes an obsession and gets between you and God, it's wrong. It's not wrong to have nice things. But when you begin to dwell on having more and more, it becomes covetousness. Anything you begin to let possess you is wrong. If you stay tempered in all things, and whatever you do, do it in moderation and keep God first and you'll do well. Patience. This is one of my favorite. Patience is that inclination of character which endures whatever is put on it. And I tell them a lot of times that if it would just stop right there, it would be all right. But it goes on and says, without murmuring or complaining. How many times have we murmured and complained? When you read that real slow, it's a real mouthful to say, I've got patience. It's so important to have patience. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in your patience, possess ye your soul. Sometimes it seems that the pressures of this life are so hectic and the pace is so fast that your nerves stay frayed. We need to have a quiet time with God every day. I try to take a time when I just get off to a quiet corner and lean back, close my eyes, let go of everything, and let God fill my mind. You ought to try it. The peace is wonderful. And if we get that peace in our life, we'd have more patience. You know, everybody, I reckon it don't matter who it is, everybody that you talk to wants to have patience. All of us do. But we don't want what it takes to have patience. Romans 5 tells us that tribulation worketh patience and patience experience. If we can learn to have patience, and we can, it's something that if we practice, God will help us with. Then the trying times come, we'll be able to stand. Word of God tells us in Jeremiah 5:12, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? All children of God, listen, if we can't have patience now in these light afflictions, now if we can't have patience in a land of peace where we've got the liberties to do, to go to church and serve God like we want to do, what in the world are we going to do when they tell us that we can't worship God anymore? And that time's coming. Or is it any wonder the Master said, in your patience, possess ye souls? When them trials come, don't murmur and complain. Understand that those trials are calling experiences. Do you ever stop to think that the reason David wasn't afraid to go fight that giant was because he had some experience behind him? And these troubles and trials and tribulations that come, they cause us to have experience. They cause us to be able to stand the next trial better. We'll get through every trial more than likely, but if we murmur and complain, we won't receive any strength from it. In your patience, remember what Jesus said, in your patience, possess ye your soul. Godliness. Godliness means God-like or having God-like attributes. To have a Godward attitude and do the things which are well-pleasing to Him. I think having a Godward attitude is the key. If you are Godward in your thinking and doing, you're going in the direction of God. You're continually seeking to do the things that would please Him. He has first place in your life, the preeminence. In everything you do, you'll seek His face and desire His will. That's godliness, having that God-like attitude. Now let's go to verse 7. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. Brotherly kindness, brotherly means is affectionately, and kindness is good, pleasant, and gracious. We are to be affectionate to one another and pleasant to be around. If you add this, you'll speak soft and kind to your brothers and sisters. When they have gotten out of line or down, you'll show them love and understanding. The word pleasant means to be fitted to please, cheerful, lively, merry, agreeable. Does that description fit you? If not, add brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. Charity. Oh, sweet charity. Charity, charity, charity. Charity is that inclination of character which puts the best possible light on what your fellow man says or does. Charity. Charity, charity. Oh, the Word of God, that's the most beautiful chapter, I guess, in the Word of God. That's something that we all want so bad, is charity, because the Word of God tells us that without it, we're nothing. Let me just read, you know, one place the Word of God said charity is the bond of perfectness. So let me read just a little bit. I want to tell you what charity is. And charity, if it don't matter if you speak with the tongues, let me just read this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So children of God, what He's saying is it don't matter how much you shout, how much you speak in tongues, how much faith you got, how much knowledge you got. It don't matter if you give everything you got to the poor and then let them burn your body. If you ain't got charity, you're not nothing. What is charity? Let's see what it says. Charity suffereth long and is kind. No matter what's said or done to you, with charity you'll bear it. You'll suffer wrong and then be kind to the one who did the wrong. You know, I've put it this way a lot of times. Somebody starts jumping on you at 6 o'clock at night and they just really rail on you hard, and you're having charity, you're doing good. Maybe up about 7 o'clock, they're still railing on you. You're doing real good. Maybe 10 o'clock, and you're still doing good. But about 11 o'clock, you say, now wait just a minute. I've had enough of this stuff. You know what you got then? You got two railers railing on one another. Your charity just failed. Your charity failed. God's charity never failed. Charity suffered long. How long is long? However long it takes, that's how long long is, just however long it takes. Charity envieth not. Charity will never feel jealous of another's good fortune, but will thank God for blessing them. Never would it feel envious or jealous of somebody else. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't want the credit for anything. It doesn't want people bragging on how good they are. It edifies because it doesn't want the limelight. You know, have you ever heard anybody talk about how they done so-and-so? Didn't that just edify you all to pieces? I doubt it. It didn't edify me. When people talk like that, it always brings kind of a cold feeling. But charity, you know, a person can get up and testify and say, they called us over to pray for old brother so-and-so, and my hands went on them, and the Lord healed them. But if you got up, that's not charity. But if you got up and said, we went over to pray for old brother so-and-so, and the power of God fell, and the Lord healed him, that's charity, children of God. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity don't want to be bragged on. We have a problem with that, don't we? Oh, I know we do, because all of us like to be spoken, like for people to speak well of us. Let me go on and do these others right quick before we. This, you can get into real deep into this stuff and take a long time. Charity is not puffed up. That means to be swelled because of pride. Solomon said, only by pride cometh contention. Charity never causes contention. Charity never causes disagreement. Do you know, I tell people it takes two to argue. Charity will not argue back. And if you've got that charity abounding in your life, they can just say what they want to and you'll smile and go on down the road. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. It does not do those things that are not becoming to a child of God. There's so many things that could go here. I guess a good way to put it is if you do anything that you would be a little embarrassed for the strictest person you know to see you do, then that's unseemly. Anything, children of God, that's not becoming to a child of God is unseemly. You can go to places that you ain't got no business going to. You can say things and do things that are unseemly. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Charity seeketh not her own. Paul said every man ought to seek to please his neighbor and not himself. Charity will always take the lowest seat in the house. It wants its neighbor to be the one that gets the best of everything. And you know, I heard a man say one time that if you had a new couch and an old couch and somebody needed one, if you had the right kind of charity, you'd give them the new couch. And you would probably, because that charity wants its neighbor to be the one that gets the best of everything. Charity doesn't seek after things for itself. Charity is not easily provoked. You know, I feel like the only time charity would be provoked would be in godly anger, as like the time that Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple. People that are always losing their temper and saying, it's just my way, I can't help it. It's just my way, I can't help it. They need to go to the altar. They need to do something, because charity is not easily provoked. And without charity, you're nothing. And I didn't say that. The Word of God said it. Without charity, you're nothing. Charity thinketh no evil. Man, is that tough. Thinketh no evil? Boy, that sure takes away the saying that you can't help what you think, don't it? Charity thinketh no evil. I hear people say a lot, you can't help what you think. The Word of God said charity thinketh no evil. And I don't know anything else you could say. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. You know, sometimes it seems as though some people rejoice in trouble and confusion. Seems like sometimes, you know, bad news travels like wildfire and good news travels slow. Everybody wants to talk about bad stuff. But charity will love everybody. And charity will cause you to be grieved when the Spirit of God is grieved. It won't have any pleasure in the unfruitful works of darkness. Charity, children of God, won't throw off on people. Charity loves everybody. Charity rejoiceth in the truth. When the Word of God comes, charity rejoices. And if we're not careful, when the Word of God comes, we bug up against it. But all that charity's right. When it comes, we say, thank you, Lord. Oh, how I thank you, Lord. Children of God, we need so much to put these things in our life. Charity beareth all things. This don't leave anything out, does it? No matter how hard that things may seem, no matter what's said or done, charity will bear it with patience and with a smile. Charity will bear it. Charity hopeth all things. Charity will hold on as long as there's any hope at all. Charity will want to hold people up instead of pushing them down. Charity endureth all things. And this is just reaffirming of the things that's already said. To endure is to remain firm under pressure. As David said, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Charity endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Well, that's good, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, to have that charity in your life. You know what the Word of God said? Charity edifies. And as I said a while ago, charity is that bond of perfectness. And you know, when you get all the ingredients together, that charity is the bond that makes everything else work, children of God. The Word of God tells us that it is the bond of perfection. A bond is that thing that binds stuff together. And to bind is to tie together like a rope or a cord, etc. To secure together and enclose. Charity is what holds everything together. Word of God tells us that without it, we're nothing. Verses 8, 9, and 10. Now listen. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And oh, that's my desire. I want to be one of God's children when this world's over. I heard my mother make a testimony one time, and mother had a hard time in some things, and she said, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, when it's all over with, I just want to be a child of God. Oh, thank God, children of God. That's all that matters, is that at the end of this life, when everything's over with, when it's all said and done, at the end, that we're one of God's children and we get to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, how I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And here he tells us that these things, if they're there, said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. And what things are we talking about? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. To abound in something is to have an exceeding measure, something above the ordinary. If we abound in these things, we'll be bearing fruit. And Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. And again now, children of God, it's come close to time for us to close. And I want to say again how much I appreciate the opportunity to come into your home. How much I appreciate the opportunity to talk the encouraging Word of God to you. And all, love one another. I beg you with all my heart to love one another. Look for ways to help one another and always seek to please God. Somebody that's seeking to please God will search more and more every day, will strive harder and harder to find more and more that they can do for God. And all loving one another is where it's all at. If you love me, you won't talk about me. If you love me, you'll want me to do good. If you've got that charity in your life, you look on my welfare. And that's what we need to do with one another so bad. I appreciate this time with you today. I appreciate the help that's been given to me. Oh, how I thank God for it. And I beg the Lord today with all my heart that until the next time, that He'll keep your heart and guard it with His peace. Isaiah said, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Keep your mind and your affections and your heart on the things of God, children of God, and He'll watch over you. Until next time, may God bless you.